Good evening. Good evening. I hope you can hear me better than I can hear me. I apologize right off the front that we won't have time to look at all the verses individually. I'll just have to read them. We're going to be covering quite a bit of territory here. One of the things we sometimes use in EE, as we go door to door, we ask people, do they believe that George Washington existed? Well, yeah. People will say, yeah, I believe that. However, when we look at it now, due to political correctness and everything else, the George Washington that we learned about in school when we were young, most of us, doesn't exist anymore. That's rather strange. What really is true? And we're going to talk today about faith. What do we believe in? How much do we believe in it? Pick one person here, Plato. I don't recommend believing in him. He lived with his teacher, who he idealized and probably idolized, back in the 5th century B.C. And Plato is called the one who laid the foundation of Western philosophy and science. Of course, he didn't believe in the true God, and most of what he is purported to have said is against the true God. However, the oldest document we have of his is 895 A.D. There's only 7 documents, and some of them are just fragments. And over all those years, who knows how many changes have been made. In fact, the guy John the Calligrapher, who was commissioned by Aretas of Caesarea to come up with what Plato believed in, he wrote what he wrote, and then Aretas of Caesarea corrected it to his liking. So what do we really know about Plato? About nothing. We don't know if he even really existed. If you look at that whole 1,400 years, and absolutely who knows what happened. You just look at the kings of the earth that archaeologists were saying, oh, it disagrees with the Bible. Well, the reason it disagreed with the Bible is because they eventually found out the kings inflated their reigns. They inflated the how many wars they won and who they conquered. But the New Testament, God's Word, is completely different. In fact, the Old Testament is too. The New Testament has more than 25,000 documents and fragments that were written, many of them only 40 to 60 years after Christ died, by eyewitnesses. That's the start. It wasn't for Western philosophy and for science, though, it was for mankind's eternal salvation. What a difference. God has preserved His word like no one else. Psalms 12, verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified 7 times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. Do you believe that? God doesn't expect us to have a blind faith, and He's provided a lot of evidence that His word is true. But tonight we really want to discuss, what is faith? Faith is trusting in God, His promises and His word, and you can't pick and choose what you want to believe. If God is true, He's true throughout it. If He's not, you can't trust Him. Can we trust Him? Well, most of us believe we can. Unbelief is the opposite. It's to deny that God is who He says He is. 2 Timothy 3:16, we all know this. All Scripture, that's the word, Greek word graphe, every little detail is inspired by God. It's God-breathed is the original word. What does God's breath cause? Life. The Word of God is alive. And it's profitable for doctrine. That's to teach you what's right. For reproof, to teach you, you crossed the line. For correction, well, here's what you do to fix it. And for instruction in righteousness, how do you stay doing what God wants? That you may be, the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. You know, a lot of times when we think of faith, we think of the unbeliever like Doubting Thomas. We don't have time to talk about him. But he did not believe what he could not see. Now, many Christians also have a problem the other way. They believe that God will provide something for them. They believe that God will heal somebody, and he doesn't. And they say, I really was trusting him. I knew a guy once that was in the assembly up north. Looking back, he probably didn't know the Lord. But he once was claiming to everybody that he knew God was going to give him a new Toyota Vanagon. He was sure of it. He was thankful too, but he didn't. And I look at something much closer to home. Last year, my daughter Christina, she went to be with her Lord, and many people were claiming in the name of Jesus, I claim that she will be healed. And she wasn't. Why is that? You know, that kind of faith, well, she was healed spiritually, obviously, but that kind of faith can give a bad name to Christians, especially when non-Christians hear it and it doesn't happen. It can give a really bad name. And here's some of the verses people use to justify this kind of faith. Luke 17:6, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Mark 11:23, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, he believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. A mountain? A mulberry tree? You ever see anybody do that? I mean, we have a lot of faith healers around there. I mean, if you want to be able to prove that you can have the faith of a mustard seed, all you have to do is say to that mountain, everybody will believe you then. They'll think you're God. Did the Lord Jesus ever do anything like that? Why not? Why not? Why would we want to do it? What was the Lord Jesus trying to teach them? What does the rest of Scripture say? And you have to look that on your own. We're only going to look at the positive side here. What faith is, not what it isn't. But just one verse that kind of prepares you for that. Luke 9:54. And as they went, that's Jesus and the disciples, they entered a village of Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. Well, you'd expect that. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did? They were using Scripture. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. Well, it wasn't the Spirit of God, was it? For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. boy, did they have it wrong. And we can get it wrong too. It really makes a difference what you ask for and why you ask it. We just can't rely on what we think to know what is right. Let's get a few principles of faith. The first is, who is the foundation of our faith? Everybody here should know that. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God. It's not Plato. It's not our feelings or emotions. It's not our logic. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit were there when Scripture was written. They were there at creation. Scripture testifies to what has been done and will be done by an unflinchingly truthful God. Second principle, faith cannot be seen. I'm going to have to skip a few verses here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means things that are waited for earnestly. The evidence, that's the title deed, the ownership of things not seen. In other words, I prove my ownership, the evidence of things not seen by my faith. I become the owner of that. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which were not made were made of things. I'm sorry. The things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. Everything we see is not made of anything visible. Now, does that make you doubt in what you see and trusting that? We don't even see what's real. It's all made of something we can't see. There's a whole world out. Well, it's not a world. I don't know what you call it. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Wherefore, we do not lose heart while we do not look at things that are seen. Is that true? But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. Hebrews 11. By faith he, that's Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man only sees with his physical eyes. He doesn't see spiritual things. But you know what? Everything has a spiritual side. Are we going to trust God in the spiritual side, or are we going to trust the temporary side? Principle number three, agreeing with God. And this is a big one. How do we know those verses before are true? How do we know what God's Word tells us? What do we have to do? We agree with God. Here's some things I've agreed with God with. For salvation, I agreed with God that I was a sinner, that I couldn't do anything about it. I was without hope. I was a rebel. I agreed with God that His Son died for my sins, and that through faith in Him, by grace, He saved me. I agree with God that I now belong to Him and need to do what He desires and leads, because I can't do it myself. I can't even see to do it myself. I agree with God that His Word is true and that it is my guidebook. I agree with God. He desires for me to communicate with Him in prayer often. I'm just learning about these things, brothers, and let me tell you. I agree with God that the world is no longer with my home. Can people tell that? But that the Lord Jesus has promised a place with Him for all of eternity. I agree with God that the gospel is the only good news for fallen man. I agree with God that I should seek His kingdom first. And you can add whatever you want on there for yourself. Everything that's in here, we should be agreeing with. Principle four, His object, our object. this is in a bad place. Our object is only Him. It's not our weak faith. We can't say, Lord, I can't do it. My faith is weak. Our object is Him. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now it's very interesting here. He didn't say He gave us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. He became that for us, our wisdom. He is our wisdom. You know, that tends to change my prayer life. I'm not looking for Him to give me something. I'm looking for who He is. I want to know Him. I don't have time to read it, but He also is our reward. Someday soon He will be my bridegroom. What a reward. My inheritance is in Him forever and ever. Hebrews 12 says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. That's fixing our eyes on Jesus. He's the object. What can faith do? It can resist the devil. It can overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. It can cause rejoicing. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. Do we feel that way? Maybe we don't trust Him enough. Maybe we don't know Him enough. You know, Paul said, that I may know Him. Principle number 6, genuine faith comes from a knowledge of the will of God and exists only to fulfill His will. What can faith do? Whatever God's purposes are. What did the Lord say? I always do those things that please the Father. I only have one purpose, God's will. You look at Abraham. Why did God wait so long to bring Abraham's promise? He went from Ur of the Chaldees. I will make you a great nation. I will make you the father of many nations. Your seed shall be as the stars of the sky. Still nothing. Nothing and nothing. Until it was impossible to be anything but by faith. Because it was a miracle. Flat out miracle. And everything by faith is, because it's all spiritual. We'll get to that in a moment. Let me ask you, does casting a mountain into the sea help God's redemptive purpose? It might make you look big. Christ was sent to redeem us and has given us that same mission of a redemptive purpose for mankind. The Lord Jesus did miracles for one reason. Well, maybe for more than one, but one that I know of. To prove He was God, that He could be trusted for our salvation. Can you trust Him? He proved who He was. I know some miracles. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draws him, literally drags him. Well, that's what the Lord did for me. He brought me from death to life, from an enemy to a co-heir with Christ. Now, if that isn't a miracle, nothing is. And he uses us to display Christ in our lives, to bring others to Christ. He answers our prayers. He gives us gifts of the Spirit. Those transcend any talents. They're spiritual. They're not physical. Sometimes we get that confused. How can I be trusting in God and not desiring what He wants? Faith enables us to cooperate with God. We don't sit down while we do. We sit down, make a plan, and say, Lord, can you kind of get behind me on this? I pray that you would make this work out right. That's all backwards. I don't ask God to be on my side. God wants me to be on His side. Faith requires obedience. Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. If you've been justified, your purpose is to live by faith. Not just say, well, I was redeemed by faith. Let's live by faith. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That seems like a very simple statement. But it's not just hearing about Him, it's hearing Him. The object of our faith. And we listen to Him so we can obey. We must know what He says when it comes to the matters of life. A lot of times we say I have too little of a faith. Well, maybe, but that's because I don't know Him well enough. I don't trust that His will is best. I don't understand Him like I should. I don't have the mind of Christ. Faith is our response to the clear word of God when we passed. You know, we have hymns. Some of the hymns, the words, if you really look at them, are so overwhelming. That you just can't continue on. We have hymns of praise and worship and consecration. And we sing these words, and sometimes we have them memorized, and we just let them flow out, and we don't really think about how life-changing they are. For our prayer, I'm just going to take a couple verses of a hymn that we probably all know. Shall we pray? Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart. It is Thine own. It shall be Thy royal throne. Father, may it be so. For Your glory and honor, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.